To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Welcome to Nerds on the Rock, episode 14, the third and I hope final chapter in our DC versus Marvel discussion. Though, I mean, I guess it hasn't really been a versus discussion as DC's been dominating, so it's been a one-sided affair.
Very lopsided.
Very upset. It's not our fault. I mean, I could see movies going either way, but I think the conclusion we drew was for the best. That DC has the highest quality stuff, but Marvel has more quality stuff. I assume, and the animated movies, I think Marvel just does not have the backing that DC has to make a consistently quality lineup. So today we're going to talk about DC and Marvel on the small screen. We should start off by talking about the live action versions of some of the popular DC and Marvel characters. So, what shows have either one of you seen?
Can I start?
Yeah, you can start.
One of the earliest ones I remember watching as a wee lad is the Shazam series on TV. I don't know if you guys have ever seen any YouTube videos of this, but it's the cheesiest thing on the planet.
I would imagine Shazam would be a tough one to do, but it's a show from the 70s, so the special effects had to be awful. And
well, they used to syndicate the show, and it would run on Saturday mornings right after all the cartoons were on, right? So a guy couldn't miss it. I think it was on until, I don't know, 83 or so.
Really? Oh,
yeah, wow. I would never miss it.
Was he a kid in that one?
He was like a teenage boy, but then the guy, and then when he would change to Shazam, it was a totally different actor, like a bigger dude.
Well, I mean, that makes sense because, I mean, that is the Shazam thing where Billy Baxton is like a little kid and then he does the Shazam thing. He's like some super huge dude. So I was just curious if they actually made him a kid because that was around the time where the whole, teen sidekick, dangerous superhero things came from. So I was surprised they would do a TV show about a kid who's kind of like fighting crime on his own.
Right.
What else can you tell us about the show? Like, do you remember like the type of villains they would have on it?
I don't. Oh man, you know what? Memories like that pop out the most are how it looked like he was riding on the truck as he was chasing it when he'd be flying. It looked like he was sitting on like something that was sticking out the side of the truck to propel him. And he would be yelling at the bad guy or whatever to pull over or something like that. Another thing is like when they change, it was just so hokey because he always seemed to change in the same damn spot. Didn't matter where he was. They'd cut to the scene where he was outside by a tree and Shazam. And it was like, what the hell? You're in a building.
The Power Rangers phenomenon where no matter what they did, they would always end up going to dinosaurs in some abandoned part of the city. It's always been interesting. I mean, it's stock footage, but that's, yeah, I guess it's kind of hard for him to call lightning when he's inside. Cause I think that actually can be blocked if he's not outside. Well, I mean, since we're going that far back, I'm sure you watched, or at least I hope you watched the Batman.
Oh, yeah.
The Adam West series.
Oh, yeah. That's still syndicated.
Of course.
That was actually my first, experience with Batman. So I guess this is why I don't have a problem with Batman being fun and goofy at times. Where I know some people prefer to have Batman dark and brooding. First experience was like, you know, the Batman who's goofy, has fun, who dances. His sidekick says ho ye this and ho ye that. He has, you know, like the Penguin dresses in like a blue tuxedo and has like a mirage of magical umbrellas.
I think my favorite character on the Batman TV series with Adam West was Vincent Price's character as Egghead. Because every time he got the chance to throw egg into a word, he would. Very egg-cellently.
I was going to use the excellently pun. Damn it. It was exciting to watch.
Exactly.
This is so extremely bad. We should just say go on with egg puns for the rest of the podcast. But what about you doing? Did you check it out?
Yeah, of course.
So, I mean, I don't know anyone that hasn't at some point. I don't know anyone that hasn't seen it at some point.
I was curious, like, as to where you saw it at, because, I mean, by the time... I don't remember it being on TV much after a while, and it's not on DVD yet.
Actually, it used to be on... There was one channel that re-aired it. Actually, it was
Teletoon.
A few years ago. Yeah, I guess it was
Teletoon. YTV does it, too, once in a while.
Yeah. It's just random stations I've seen it off, and then I guess VHSs or whatever.
Now, when they show it on TV and up in Canada...
It ain't no different than down there.
I was just going to ask if they show like an actual two-part or if they just make it like one long episode.
It's usually you get the credits halfway through if they're going to run an hour-long episode.
Okay, so they cut it up anyhow.
Most of the time, yeah, it's to be continued. You have to wait until the next day because it's syndicated, right?
Yeah, because originally when it aired, it was actually like that. It had one episode on Wednesday, I think, and then one episode on Thursday. And that's where that whole "join us tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel" came from.
Yep.
Exactly.
Excellent. But yeah, I mean, it's a good show. It had a spinoff movie, which I don't think we talked much about. Actually, we did. But
that's
that
the one with the bark shark, bat shark repellent, isn't it?
Yes, the bat shark repellent, which I had a discussion on Twitter, and maybe one of you two can answer this. How does the bat shark repellent work on a plastic shark?
I have no idea.
This is
what fools me about Batman. It just confounds me, you know. He just put bat in front of the word on that show, and it would work on whatever it needed to.
Yeah, but I never thought about this, and I was watching like a retrospective of it during this week, and it's an exploding shark, but you find out that like, it's a fake shark that they stuff with the dynamites and stuff. So, like, how does shark repellent work on it at that point? Because it's not supposed to react to anything. It's plastic. It has no life to it. But, you know, that show had its magical moments, so we'll excuse it. Yeah. I guess back in the 60s, well, I guess not 60s, Marvel didn't really have anything in the 60s, but in the 70s, they had The Amazing Spider-Man. Did anybody check that out?
I have not seen it.
I know that I have seen the show as a young kid. I don't quite remember it, but I do remember seeing the intro as I was older, and he would shoot a web, and it would be a rope, and it would tie itself around a post.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention. That and the theme song. Sounds like a 70s porno.
And with his spider sense, it was more of a psychic premonition than it was here comes danger. It was like, oh, so-and-so is across town, you know, hidden in a basement. I better go get her.
And, like, yeah.
It was a pretty bad butcher.
Well, I mean, it was I think, good effort. If you want to talk, there's also a Japanese version of Spider-Man, which I have not seen, but I assume it's a much better butchering of the franchise. I can't remember. There are some differences, but like I said, I've never seen it before. So, yeah. And then there was The Incredible Hulk. The Incredible Hulk was most known for, I think, changing Bruce Banner's name to David because the name Bruce was too gay.
Yeah, you are correct. And I do believe that's why, because that was his father's name in the comic is David, I believe.
Okay. So I'm not a huge Hulk fan, but has that been like put into the comics? Like, is his name Bruce David Banner or something?
I think it's Bruce Robert Banner.
So they don't acknowledge the whole David thing at all?
I'm not exactly sure. I wish Gary was here. He could answer that.
But, okay.
Well, I can look it up here.
I would like to comment on the Hulk TV show.
Yes.
By saying, as I watched this as a young kid, I used to love it. As I got older, I started to hate it, because every time I seen Lou Ferrigno on the screen, I'm like, that guy is way too small to be the Hulk. And then I met Lou Ferrigno. And trust me, man, he's huge.
Yeah, and he's still doing his thing. I enjoyed the show. I didn't like the fact that, I mean, I guess it made for an interesting story, but like Hulk being on the, oh, not Hulk, but Bruce Banner being on the run throughout the series for the murder of, did he kill himself, or who did he kill?
Oh, I don't even remember, man. I stayed away from it for a while there, like I said, and I've never really gotten back into it.
Okay. But I know he's on the run from the police. Oh, from the, because he killed somebody. I can't remember if it's
him.
Yeah,
it was always the same cop. I remember that.
So I didn't know if it was him or his wife, but this is what we get for doing research ahead of time. But yeah, the show was good. And then they had a couple of, like, spinoff movies, like, I think the Death of the Incredible Hulk.
Oh, let's not go there. That was a travesty, man. A travesty. I like the trial of the Incredible Hulk because they did a little Thor in there, and the guy who played Thor, he was very overacting the part, so it was kind of humorous that way. But the Death of the Incredible Hulk, I watched until he fell out of a plane and died when he hit the ground. I'm like, come on, man, he's the Hulk.
Now, do you think they were making fun of that in the movie?
I don't know. That's why I call it an atrocity. Like, it's just wrong.
Because, I mean, he does that in The Incredible Hulk, the recent movie with Edward Norton, where he falls out of the plane and they think he's dead. But then he emerges out of the ground. So right. I don't know if that was a callback to that movie.
No. You know what that was, man? That was a direct rip that was pulled from the comic series Banner. When the government had a hold of Banner for a while, they'd keep him doped up, and that's what they would do. They would dope him up and then drop him out of a plane over wherever the hell they wanted to destroy and let the Hulk do everything.
Nice.
So that was written by Brian Azzarello and drawn by Richard Corbin, one of my most favorite series of all time.
Okay.
Sorry.
I think the plan was for them to eventually have made a fourth movie in which they brought Hulk back to life, but that got canned. So Hulk died in a plane crash.
That was so lame.
Poor Hulk. Apparently he's no Superman.
No Batman apparently either.
Well, I mean, Batman, of course, wouldn't have been dropped out of a plane. He would have grabbed what Hulk did, called the bat plane.
Right before the pavement, crushed him.
Subdued the people who dropped him out of the plane, and he would have done this before breakfast. And then he would have had time to beat up Wolverine. So.
Oh! Get him, Dylan! Get him!
No. He couldn't beat him, but I don't want to get into that here for the viewers' sake.
But we know Batman can beat Wolverine, and that's why you don't want to get into it, because you can't counter Batman's...
It's adamantium. He could just... But cut him.
He can't cut Batman. You can't touch him. The man's a super god. Okay, not just a god, a super god. It's like I'll Superman meet Jesus.
I'll take it. Here we go. Round one. Batman puts Wolverine down. Wolverine gets hurt real bad. Comes back 20 minutes later.
Okay.
He hurts Batman. Batman tries to run away. Wolverine doesn't let him.
Well, Batman does not run away.
What do you mean? Are you out your mind? I have seen Batman run away so many times, it's retarded.
When has he ran away?
Let me see, when he fought the Predators, he got his ass whooped. And he had to go hide in his Batcave for, I don't know, 6 months to build himself a new suit of armor before he come back for round two. That's the same with Batman. Batman always gets
from
round
movies.
Two.
That so doesn't count.
What does it count?
Predators aren't real. They're from a movie.
Batman's not real, man. You can't throw that at me.
Batman is so real.
Bane?
There's Adam West, there's Michael Keaton, there's Val Kilmer, there's Christian Bale, there's Kevin Conroy. Those are all real people.
Okay. See, now you want to sidetrack.
Okay, well, here...
It's no longer a Wolverine versus Batman discussion.
There's no discussion. Batman wins.
Oh, that's it. You're right. Wolverine would win. End of story.
Oh, God.
I said Batman wins.
No.
Yes.
And me and Dylan say no.
Of course, you're Canadian.
That has nothing to do with it.
Yes, it does. You're supporting your Canucks because you have no other heroes.
I don't care.
See?
My hero is Frank Castle, and he is not from Canada.
We don't count Frank Castle, especially not if he's in his Frank and Castle guise. Since you're trying to disrupt this conversation with your thoughts that somehow this magical Wolverine could defeat the untouchable Batman.
Batman with no superpowers at all.
He has tons of superpowers, but moving on.
Right.
Let's talk about the guy who has had the most TV shows.
Tarzan.
I was going to say Superman, but if you want to talk about Tarzan, go ahead.
He's not really a superhero, I guess, but did you know that the most feature films ever made about one fictional character is about Tarzan?
Is it? I thought it was Dracula.
Nope, it's Tarzan. Yeah, look it up, brother.
We will look it up, and we will get back to that. I always find it interesting that people say Superman is most people who don't read Superman always say he's a boring character, or that they don't enjoy him because he's overpowered. But somehow he has managed to go on TV in what is it, 5 different TV shows? There was The Adventures of Superman with George Reeves. There was, Wilson Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. He has Smallville. And then he has a bunch of animated series. And then there's Adventures of Superboy.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't leave out the Superboy shows.
Yeah, and stuff like that. And Super Pup. But has anybody seen the George Reeves Superman? Adventures Superman?
I think I have at some point.
I've only seen Up, Up, and Away movie they did when Superman Returns came out. There was a...
That's like, a really good documentary.
Yeah, that's the only George Reeves footage I've seen.
Okay, so nobody's seen Adventures of Superman, which is actually not the longest running Superman series. What about Superboy?
Nope.
You're just boring today, aren't you?
Superboy? I don't think it's ever been shown here in Canada.
Not
where I live, anyways.
You have to make time for your Wolverine specials, huh?
Yeah, too many Wolverine specials.
I would imagine so. I'm surprised Marvel doesn't have him making guest appearances. And you think he can be a Canadian star.
See, you know what's going on right now? The more and more you think about it, the more and more you know Wolverine would win, so now you got to start dissing Wolverine.
I don't have to start dissing Wolverine. I'm not going to deny that Wolverine, Batman, and Deadpool all suffer from overexposure right now.
Word.
I really wish they wouldn't do it to certain characters. I understand that they get popular, but at some point it just kind of gets too much. But that's another topic for another day.
Word.
What about Wilson Clark, The New Adventures of Superman?
I've definitely seen a lot of that.
I've seen, because they added that to Netflix here at the start of September. So I used to watch it when I was a kid, but... Yeah, it's a very interesting show. It's a different take on the characters.
The New Adventures of Superman?
Yeah.
Like this was a live-action show?
Yeah, the whole title is Wilson Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. With Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher.
Oh, Lois and Clark.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was going to point out, that's the thing where, the title says it all. It's more of a focus on Lois and Clark as characters than it is as... on Superman as the centerpiece of this show, especially during the first season where it was more about them becoming partners and their relationship.
Always about the relationship, yeah.
So, I mean, at some point it started to become more and more out there, especially the third season with the whole marriage thing where they were originally gonna have them married off.
That's where they lost me, right before the wedding there and the clothes.
Yeah, and then they wanted to get them married at the same time in the comic books, but at the same time, I think that's when Death of Superman happened. Ouch. So they had to prolong the wedding, so that's when the clones came and she ate frogs and the Exuther returned and all this nonsense, and the show kind of went downhill from there, and then they ended up getting married in some fantasy land or something. So yeah. But the first two and a half seasons were pretty good stuff. I actually enjoyed that Lois Lane figured out that Clark Kent was Superman and he didn't tell her. Because, she's supposed to be this top ace reporter, and the fact that she never realized that they were the same person because he slicked back his hair and wore glasses always seemed a bit out there.
Yep, it certainly does.
But, I mean, what did you think of, Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher in the role of Lois and Clark?
It was different, I guess, but I liked it.
Yeah, I would say I'm a bit of a dork, and this is why I have a huge crush on Terry Hatcher. It's because she was Lois, and she's also plays a Bond girl, and now she's going to play Lois's mother. She's been in a superhero movie and a Bond movie. I mean, you couldn't get more perfect for me.
Lois Lane, or what's her name? Terry Hatcher? She's hot.
Yeah. Yes, she is.
Sorry, man. I'm trying here.
It's okay. And recently, well, not recently, currently, and still ongoing, there's Smallville. I'm assuming everybody's checked that show out.
Yeah, I've seen it a handful of times. I've never been a huge fan of it, but...
I will continue to watch it if I can watch them in order, like I watched the first 4 seasons.
You see, the show, it's really, I have some problems with it, one is that they're prolonging Superman's origins for 10 years. I mean, the guy gets his powers from Earth. There's always so much you can stretch that out. But, like, Jor-El's a jerk, and I've never got that. I mean, maybe I don't read enough comic books, but Jor-El never came off as a jerk to me in the comics or in any of the movies. But he's kind of a douche in the show. I like the X and Croc relationship for the most part until I guess Michael Rosenbaum decided to go elsewhere with his talents. I did not care. I mean, Anna Hanga is hot, but I didn't care for the whole, oh, we're going to end every episode for like 8 seasons on them, like, talking in the barnyard emotionally about how Clark can't open himself up to her and reveal his true identity. And at this point, it also suffers from Ultimate Spider-Man syndrome, where I think almost everybody knows his secret identity.
Yep.
I mean, what, Chloe knows it, Green Arrow knows, well, the Justice League knows it. He always knows it now. I think X knows it, but I think he's somewhat dead right now. I don't follow the show that often, so I just randomly, like, I like to watch the season premiere and the season finale for at least, because those are usually good episodes. It's usually everything in between that's questionable.
Lex is the best part of Smallville.
He was.
Yeah, well, and he was the voice of the Flash, so.
Yes, which was actually kind of interesting.
Yeah, no, I love that, man, especially when they did the swap in the cartoon.
Yeah, the Great Brain Robbery.
Excellent.
That was a good episode. Has anybody checked out the season premiere? Because we got teased of Darkseid in it. And I'm not sure what I think about that, since the show tends to ruin his big villains, like Doomsday, who was a EMT worker.
Didn't they wreck Brainiac too?
Yeah, Brainiac was like some scientist dude. I forgot about him. And I don't know what they do. I don't remember what happened with Zod, who was last season.
Zod was on there?
Did they have Metallo at some point?
Yeah, Metallo was in there for an episode, I think. I think that was season 8.
The last episode I watched was the JSA one with Hawkman.
Oh, yeah, they do a decent job with, like, the superheroes. It's just like his superfriends, they don't really do that great of a job with.
I gotta ask about the one girl, though, that played the Star Spangled Kid there. Is she supposed to kid? Why does she look like a 30-year-old hooker?
Why is she looking? Well, if it helps, I mean, at this point, I don't even know how old he is, but I think Clark Kent is supposed to be, I guess, at this point, he should be 24-ish? 23? Because the show started when he was in high school, freshman, I believe, and it's been 10 years now? But right. I think, what, Tom Welling is, like, 30?
Wasn't he 30 when he started?
No, he's 30 now.
33 right now.
Wow. I knew he was older than Brandon Routh. Even though Brandon Routh looks older than he does.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, Smallville. It's a show that's there. And then there's been, like, sprinkles of various cartoons. I mean, and live-action shows. Wonder Woman had one, which her famous spin came from.
I used to make myself sick spinning like Wonder Woman when I was a little kid.
Of all the superheroes to pretend to be, like, you decided to pretend to be Wonder Woman.
You know what it was, man? I'll tell you what it was. I hear this to the day. I go and I see my cousins, and they're like, you used to play with Barbie. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I never played with Barbie. They're like, you had a Wonder Woman Barbie. And I was like, well, that's acceptable.
How is that acceptable?
It's acceptable to me, man. I was a little kid. I don't remember having it.
I'm sure, but you remember doing the Wonder Woman spin.
What? I was a little kid. I used to spin. I would like to change into a super cool bikini and be super tough. When
wow.
I was 5.
Uh-huh. 5.
Hey, man, that was like 30 years ago.
Uh-huh. 30 years ago, 30 minutes ago, either. Or.
Not 30 probably, minutes ago.
You're probably wearing a magic asshole right now.
30 minutes ago, I wanted to be Wolverine.
So you could get your ass beat by Batman?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to be Wolverine anymore, then?
I guess not. He knew he was going to get his ass beat by Batman, decided not to.
In the name of Lord Crom, I will smite both of you.
Well, maybe he decided to be somebody else. Maybe he wants to be Power Girl, or maybe Jean Grey.
Okay, I don't want to be what you want to see, man.
I don't want to see you dress up in any female costume. I can go my whole life without that and be a happy camper.
Excellent.
Excellent. But yeah, so did anybody check out Wonder Woman other than Eric, who apparently wanted to be her? Did you actually watch the show?
Yeah, I remember little bits of it. I remember there was a Wonder Girl on it at one time.
Yeah. One thing I was going to note, and I mean, it's always kind of weird with her, is like for a character who's supposed to embody female empowerment, I found it funny that they made her a secretary.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
That's just kind of smacks of irony to me.
But that shows you the signs of the time, too, right? Like, when the show was being made, and that was the mentality of society, right?
Yeah, the sad thing is, I think they would still make her a secretary in this day and age.
I just read today that they're going to try and develop Wonder Woman for another TV show.
I bet you
it'll be a little bit different than the old one.
Another thing I've never got, and I mean this is related to the show, but in general, is like, why does Wonder Woman need an invisible jet?
Oh, why does she need it? Yeah. Why does she need to look like she's sitting on a chair flying through the air?
Well, not even that, but she can fly.
I really enjoyed the...
Oh.
Was that the Wonder Woman movie where they do that? They show how she got her jet?
No, that was Crisis on Two Earths.
Which one?
Crisis on Two Earths.
That's right. That was awesome.
That was... I did dig that. That was a great... Like, you know, it's a plane that got stuck in its croaking field.
Right. Yeah, because it was Owlman, wasn't it?
And I like how they specifically explain it. Like, why do you need an invisible jet? She's like, because I can. Like, she's like, it's nice. I want a new toy. That makes sense. But yeah, as a concept, I never got why she needed a jet when she can fly. That's like Superman having a car, which technically he does have, but, you know, for Clark Kent.
Yeah.
He
doesn't use it when he's being Superman.
I like to check out the toy section every now and then when I'm in a Target or Walmart or whatever. And I like that they have Spider-Man has several vehicles you can buy, which again, I've never got. Like, if I had a choice between web swinging and driving, I would go with web swinging. I would actually go with web swinging over flying. I think it seems more exciting.
Exciting, yes, it would be.
It would be an ex. Okay, you know what? I can't even stretch this egg thing out anymore.
Excellent, man. Excellent.
Speaking of people who don't need cars, did anybody watch the Flash TV show?
I own it on DVD.
Nice.
I used to watch it religiously, or I tried to, but back then they didn't have TiVo or PVR, DVR, whatever they call
DVR.
It now. And, I always tried to watch it, but I missed a whole bunch of them. I remember seeing the Trickster ones with Mark Hamill.
Yes, I was going to say, Mark Hamill has made a huge career in comic books after Star Wars.
Voice acting. Oh, I guess he got in a car accident. I guess his face is a little scarred. I don't know. You wouldn't know it to look at him now, but I think that was his main reason for dropping back so much.
Yeah, that makes sense. But, I mean, it's worked out for him. I mean, granted, he plays some of the characters, the prankster, the Joker, Hobgoblin.
Yes, good call.
The dude from Darksiders. So he has his niche. Yep. He plays the maniacal maniac, I guess.
He does it well. He's the best Joker ever, in my opinion. Like, live action, animated. And when I see the Joker, I hear his voice. I can't help it.
Yeah, it's kind of – I mean, I have that whole thing with the DC series, though. Like, I don't – like, I get used to it, but I really – don't like hearing anybody that isn't Kevin Conroy. Like, I always said, you know what, you just get an actor to play him in a live action movie and just have Kevin Conroy dub over it, the voices, and I'd be set.
You didn't like that Gotham Knights. I was listening to that.
Gotham Knights was...
I liked it. I'll tell you why. Because of all the different anime styles that they were using.
I didn't like it, and I don't think his voice fit many of the characters.
Oh, I think it fit pretty good in that Deadshot short, though.
That was the best one, I think.
Exactly.
Definitely was.
But, I mean, that's the thing, though. It's like there were, like, five or six parts, and there was, like, two of them that I really cared for. That Deadshot one, and I think the one with the shootout was really good.
Oh, yeah. I like the Scarecrow one, too.
I don't even remember the Scarecrow one. Oh, wait, no, that's the one with the sewers. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, and Killer Croc, too.
Yeah. So
some of those episodes I did not get at all. I was like, huh? Like, I thought this was supposed to be filling in the gap between Batman Begins and The
Most
Dark Knight.
Most of it did not relate to it. It's like, it takes place, like, you can tell it takes place after The Dark Knight because, you know, like, some of the cops and whatever. And I don't think The Dark Knight itself acknowledges it. Like, I think the only thing that's important is that you see that Gordon sets up, like, that special unit that, right. like, during one of the shorts. Other than that, it doesn't really play in between the movies.
No, not at all.
So,
especially with... Scarecrow pretty much dies at the end of his short, I think.
And then he's in Dark Knight.
I mean, I guess to put a notch on this segment, I don't think there's a real clear-cut winner here. I mean, there hasn't really been much live-action shows for either one. I guess I would give the nod to DC just because I enjoyed the Batman show. You know, Joseph Clark was a good time.
They've had better financial backing for a lot longer than Marvel has.
That's the other thing, is that it's kind of weird how, I mean, Marvel's pushed themselves far, far into, like, the live-action movie stuff.
Leaps and bounds those boys have made.
But they haven't really touched any of the other mediums, which is kind of interesting. And I guess we'll get to that after the break when we discuss the animated series. So join us on the other side, and thank you.
On the next Eggisode.
Eggisode 14. Welcome back to Nerds on the Rocks, Eggisode 14 and a half. We are covering DC and Marvel on the small screen, and this time we will focus on their animated endeavors. We will start by talking about Fleischer's. Is that how it's pronounced?
Fleischer, I believe so. Because it's brothers, right? The Fleischer brothers.
Yeah, Fleischer Brothers Superman cartoons that aired in the 40s. Anybody has any memory of those?
I have a VHS tape of like four of them.
I think Eric was young enough to actually have watched those on TV at the time.
I'm not that young, man. But if you go by the Superman Returns steel box set that's got, like, Richard Donner's cut of part two and every Superman movie ever made, it's got every Fleischer cartoon on there, too. And they're excellent.
That's not too bad. I mean, it's, 13 episodes or so? I mean, there aren't that many of them.
No, but they used to run them before the movies, right?
Yeah. Which, I mean, I kind of miss. I mean, Pixar does that now with the Pixar shorts, but nobody really does, like, mini movies. Now all you get are, like, advertisements or... like the first looks at it, which are just like longer commercials for TV shows. My favorites are the ones where you get a sneak peek of a movie that you see a trailer of before the movie. So you get to see the same movie that doesn't look that interesting the first time, two more times. Or has anybody ever had, and this is a tangent, but has anybody ever went to a movie and had a trailer or a first look for the movie they're watching?
Nope.
That has actually happened to me like once or twice, and it didn't make any sense to me. Like, why do I need to see what this movie's gonna be about if I'm sitting in a theater to watch this movie?
You mean a trailer for the movie you're going to see?
Yeah, well, not like a trailer. Not trailers itself, but like now, like some theaters I go to have what they call first looks. So if you arrive too early to the movie, like you'll end up with these things where it's like, sneak peeks at TV shows or like first looks at movies and stuff like that, which I like extended, you know, there may be like 5 to 10 minutes about like a TV show or a movie. And then you get like, then you get to the trailers and then you get the movie. And then during that first part, sometimes they have like features on the movie you're about to watch.
We get a slideshow where I live, man, like of quiz stuff before.
Oh, we used to get those like,
commercial start.
Yeah. I prefer those actually. It's, you know, I can answer questions and stuff instead of watching. I mean, like, I try not to get to movies too early, but depending on the movie, you know, like, sometimes if you don't get there early enough, you're going to be, like, the people in the front row, like, cranking your neck. But, the Fleischer Brothers Superman cartoons are notable for, I mean, they were big in the Superman thing for being the first, like, animated comic book version of anything.
And it was rotoscoped. Actual actors, they would rotoscope them, right?
And I believe they And it had the voice actors from like the Superman radio show, radio drama, reprising their roles, which is nice. And you know, you got the whole thing with like, you know, like his, look up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman. I actually think that was the intro to the cartoon. And then, you know, you got the up and away and like the old Superman things, which never really focused on like Lois and Jimmy finding out who Superman were, would always end with him like winking at the camera as Clark Kent when they discussed that he was never around when Superman was there.
Clark, you sly bugger.
Like, I mean, has anybody ever thought that was dishonest?
A little bit.
What are you gonna do? You gotta do the right thing. And you can't, you gotta lie to get away with it.
I mean, I don't know if he's ever lied. I mean, has he ever specifically said, no, I am not Superman?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's ever asked him.
How about, well, I guess not blatantly said it, but I mean, how about when, after he was dead, say, and he comes back after the Doomsday debacle, and he got the then Supergirl, Matrix, he got her to transform into Clark Kent so they could dig him out of the rubble so they could be seen together. That's basically a lie.
Yes, it is. I've never actually read The Death of Superman. That's actually an interesting question. What did they do with Clark Kent during the time? Did he just disappear in the destruction?
No. He was living in under some rubble for a few weeks.
Oh, interesting. Some interesting.
Kind of he was stuck in some sort of restaurant or something like that.
Yeah, because they've actually done The Death of Superman several times in the cartoons. I know they did it during one episode of Super Friends, and I know they do it later on during Justice League.
Yes, they do.
But, yeah, I've never actually thought about what happens to Clark Kent when Superman dies.
Right.
Or, like, what happens to Clark Kent when Superman returns. Like, oh, actually, that's the same thing. That's the same issue I had with Superman Returns.
You know, he's a deadbeat dad.
Well, I mean, he didn't know he had a kid, to be fair.
That's true.
But yeah, like Superman Returns, it's like Superman goes missing for a couple of years and nobody notices that him and Clark Kent decide to show up in town the same day. I'm just saying. Anyhow.
You have to take a certain level of disbelief with any of these superheroes to begin with, right?
Yep.
So
you do, but I mean, even with the depth of Bruce Wayne, they at least had that cover because Thomas Elliot is impersonating Bruce Wayne. So it's not like, you know, Batman's dead. Well, I mean, technically Batman isn't dead either, but you know.
Who's impersonating Bruce Wayne? I don't know this. I haven't been reading it.
Thomas Elliot is impersonating him. Hush?
Yeah, Hush.
Okay, then. Didn't read Hush.
It's actually a very decent story. I think most of it has been corrected by now, especially being the biggest thing was like faking people out with them bringing back Jason Todd, which they eventually did anyhow. But yeah, it's one of those stories I think where people call it an excuse to just draw everybody in Batman's rogues gallery. Like,
Superman.
People call that. People have accused the Young Halloween of doing that too, where like each issue is just like, oh, we're just throwing a bunch of old Batman foes in here as well.
Yep.
But it's a good story.
I haven't read it yet.
So yeah, I guess the next block of cartoons would be in the 60s with the New Adventures of Superman, the Batman Superman Hour, which had 30 minutes of Superman, 30 minutes of Batman. The Batman segment was a continuation of the Adam West Batman series where... Guest starring Batmite. Another tangent. But why is it that Batmite is kind of cheerful and helpful where Mr. McSupix is kind of evil and demented?
Well, because isn't Mitzel Pitlick, isn't he he's a bad guy, whereas Batmite is trying to be an ally.
I always thought they were from, like, the same dimension.
I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that much about Batmite.
Okay.
when I think of Batmite, I think of the Great Gazoo from the Flintstones, so I don't know. Maybe it's a riff on that.
Oh, the Great Gazoo was an awful addition to the Flintstones. I don't know why they did that, but... Hey, dum-dum.
I loved it.
Of course you would.
That's right, I'm Canadian.
I don't know what that has to do with being Canadian.
Yes, it does. Yeah, I don't know. I don't like it. It must be because I'm from Canada.
No, they don't even have like Wolverine.
Oh, you're on the wrong side of the coast, man.
Apparently.
You aren't on a coast.
What?
Well.
No, we're not, but we're on opposite sides of the country.
Yeah.
Which technically isn't true, you're both in the middle.
Not really, man.
Well.
Well, I mean, you're not on the west coast and you're not on the east coast, you're in between the countries. You're like the meat and the sandwich.
The bacon.
Or I guess if you want to be... If you want to be fair, one of you is the cheese and one of you is the meat.
Okay. I call being the meat.
Okay.
So that means you're the cheese. It. What type of cheese would you be?
Cheddar.
Cheddar on a sandwich, interesting. And what type of meat would you be?
Bacon.
Bacon, yeah.
Yeah, bacon.
A bacon and cheese sandwich.
Now, I've had one before. It's not
now
bad.
Is this... Bacon or Canadian bacon?
Doesn't matter.
Oh, it matters.
I don't really know the difference, to be honest.
Okay, Canadian
There's a difference
bacon.
Between bacon and Canadian bacon. I can't find a difference between Canadian bacon and ham.
Okay. They taste different, to start with. Okay, well, the Canadian bacon is rounded meat, and it looks like little bits of ham.
Okay.
But when you fry it up, it fries like bacon. But you know, like bacon strips... How it gets all shrivelly. That's different bacon altogether. This is back bacon. I don't know why we're talking about bacon.
I don't know. Oh, I know why. We started with you two being the cheese and the meat of your sandwiches, but
this
I don't
an
know.
Excellently sidetracked conversation.
Indeed. But yeah, I guess, and then Marvel had their block of cartoons, but the most infamous one, I guess, was the Fantastic Four, which did away with the Human Torch because he wasn't important for Herbie the Robot.
No, they were afraid kids were going to light themselves on fire.
Now, I assume this is after the debacle where kids would fly out their window pretending to be Superman.
Oh, I don't know. You know what it reminds me of is when the kids were crawling into the sewers when the Ninja Turtles were hot.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, to be honest, if I knew how to get down into the sewers, I would have done that as a kid.
Really?
Yeah. They don't, those things are really tough for a kid to open though. Because those manhole covers are not light.
They're heavy, yes, we know.
So, and now that I'm an adult and I know it's in the sewers, no thanks. If I see a turtle, it's probably dead and it's probably been flushed on the toilet. So, I don't care what amount of ooze you have, it's not coming back to life. But yeah, they replaced the Human Torch with Herbie the Robot. And was there any reason they decided to go with a robot?
Robots are cool.
Robots are always cool, but usually robots are
force.
I get that, but why didn't they just pick like another power or a human? They decided to go with a robot. And did the robot have a power or was he just a robot?
He was comedy relief.
As a superpower.
That is a very tough superpower. Not everybody can have comedic timing like a robot. And I guess the other 60s Marvel cartoon, which is much better because it doesn't replace the main character with the robot. Even though a Spider-Man robot would be awesome. Is Spider-Man 1967. Which is
really interestingly enough... if I may interject here for a minute, when I first saw these cartoons, like, a while ago, probably, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago, they would air them back-to-back on Teletoon, so, and it was kind of weird.
Wait, air what?
Like, it was like Fantastic Four followed by Spider-Man at, like, 8 o'clock at night.
That's actually pretty cool, if they had to air them how to, because I assume, I mean, because these both ran for the same period of time, so I assume they probably aired back-to-back on their natural networks.
Yeah.
That would actually be kind of cool if they did that where, you know, you get the rights to these shows and you add them how they would have aired if you were a kid in the 60s. And if you're a kid in the 60s, you're probably not listening to this podcast. But, yeah, that would have been cool. I know we, right now, I think the only ones we really get are like the Spider-Man cartoon and some other ones that air on Toon Disney. Or I think it's Disney XD now. But yeah, for the most part, some of these cartoons no longer exist. Or they did, and they ran on Boomerang, and I didn't get the channel at the time. But now that I do, they don't really show anything I want to see.
Right.
But yeah, Spider-Man 67, best known for its awesome and extremely catchy theme song.
Yep.
Because he can do whatever a spider can. He can take a look overhead. Hey there.
He can't. Okay, let me clarify that Spider-Man cannot do everything a spider can. Because
that's what the theme song said.
He doesn't blow webs out his ass.
You don't know that. Has he ever tried? Actually, he doesn't do webbing.
Has he ever tried?
I was
about to say, see that. Go, go, gadget webs.
I was about to say, but he doesn't do webbing naturally. The only time he's done that is in Ultimate Spider-Man, I believe.
And the movies.
And the movies. Correct. But the movies are based, they take most of the elements from Ultimate Spider-Man because at the time that was the newest and most recent Spider-Man story. And pretty damn good at that. Even if his origin took like 10 years to tell.
Yeah.
Cause that guy can stretch a story. But Yeah. I think this cartoon, I could be mistaken, didn't have Gwen Stacy in it. And
67? No, I don't even think it had a Mary Jane really. It was just some random girl.
I think it was Betty Brant.
Yeah.
Betty, yeah.
I think that
she was always there with Jameson in the office getting yelled at.
But why had Gwen Stacy died at this point, or was she just, cause I find it weird that she's always ignored in his cartoons.
Yeah.
Well, is she not in the 90s version?
She is in the 90s version, I think, she ends up marrying Harry. No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. And she's in Spectacular Spider-Man,
is
but...
that Liz?
Oh, yeah, that is his.
Oh, right.
I think Gwen's in it.
Gwen died in 73.
So why isn't she in this cartoon? Was she not introduced as a love interest, or did they not want to have more than one? I just find it weird, because like, the movies did the same thing, where they kind of ignored her for the first two movies, and then they kind of shoehorned her into the third one. I mean, I guess that Mary Jane's his one true love, but I mean, it's just kind of ignoring the first, I don't know, 15 years of his career.
Yeah.
It's always been weird to me. But, yeah. Decent show. Great first season. The rest of it, not so much. It kind of became a, poor version of the first season with, way too many repeated animations and some really psychedelic and trippy background effects.
The stock footage, right? Like, they used to, for two episodes, they reused Rocket Robin Hood footage.
poor Marvel. And this is something, I mean, we've gotten into before, is that Marvel's just never had a backing of a solid company.
That's right, they need the money. Yep.
Until now, where they have
Disney,
and I expect good things going forward for them. It should be a battle. Except, as we'll touch on in a bit, I don't see great things for the upcoming slate of cartoons.
What? Yeah. It looks good.
I mean, an anime Iron Man, an anime Wolverine, an anime X-Men, an anime Fantastic Four, the Avengers, the world's mightiest.
That's the one I'm looking forward to, is just the Avengers, I guess.
It doesn't look that great to me, but like I said, we'll get there in a bit.
We'll see.
So. Mm-hmm. That takes us through the 60s, and let's take a break. Well,
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can.
Going into the 70s, it looks like Marvel took a vacation for that decade for the most part, as Fantastic Four and Spider-Man finished in 1970, and they wouldn't have another cartoon on the air until 78. In the meantime, DC decided to whore out their newest creation, the Justice League, and for reasons unknown to me, and I'm almost certain that Wikipedia will give me a reason why, the team was renamed the Super Friends, and, I mean, okay, yes, it sounds extremely cheesy, I mean, there's no way around it when you call it Super Friends, that, I mean, it's like we're best friends forever. Oh my gosh. But,
BFFs is what you should have called it. The jail BFF.
The legendary best friends forever team up. But, the Super Friends ran in various incarnations for about 13 years, with the original show being Super Friends, which was an hour-long cartoon which starred Batman, Robin, Superman, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, and, for God knows what reason, had Wendy, Marvin, and Wonder Dog as their sidekicks. I don't remember ever seeing an episode where the three of them served any purpose other than enemy bait being captured.
I guess that's why they were on the team. Distractions.
The replacement for Snapper Carr.
Snapper Carr, who has never really had a presence on TV, even though I believe he's in an episode of the Justice League.
Yeah, he's the reporter in the first season premiere or whatever.
Yeah.
First three-episode movie.
But, yeah, according to Wikipedia, it's because they wanted a Scooby-Doo-type presence on the show with the, you know, dog that solves mysteries or whatever. So there's why we had these three no-names who look like they were born in the 70s. I mean, Wendy's wearing bell-bottoms and a orange vest. And for some reason, Marvin has a cape, even though he has no superpowers.
And the dog has the same cape.
Well, I mean, the dog looks cool in a cape. I mean, who doesn't have a dog in a cape? I mean, that's why we have like Crypto this. And we have Ace the Bat Hound.
Ace the Bat Hound.
Dogs are great in capes.
Yeah, what about horses? The Comet.
And then the next version of the show would be the all-new Super Friends Hour, which replaced Wendy.
Some bad names.
With Zane and Jaina, who are the Wonder Twins. And unlike Wendy and Marvin, they actually possess some form of superpowers, even though their superpowers was... Well, it's kind of like Captain Planet, where the superpowers are the same if the other person is not around, because they can't use it. But if I'm not mistaken, one had the ability to change into a form of water, and the other one a creature that exists in water? Is that how their powers work?
Wouldn't they change into like a bucket?
Yeah, which was like a form of water. I don't remember what the other one changed into.
I think it's an animal or something.
Yeah,
usually an animal, some kind of ice.
So you have to, if you're the other twin, you have to be like, I got screwed here.
You think?
Like he can turn into a tiger. I turn into a bucket of water. I change into ice cubes. He turns into a tiger. I would take one into battle with me and send the other one to her a nice refreshing drink. So, yeah. The next one, and this is my personal favorite of this series, is the Challenge of the Super Friends, which ditched the annoying sidekicks for an actual heroes versus villain team-up. And on the heroic side, we had Superman, Batman, Robin, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, The Flash, Green Lantern, Hawkman, and three characters who were created for this show to show some ethnic diversity. Black Vulcan, who, get this, was an African-American, Apache Chief, who was a Native American, and Samurai, who was, yes, Asian. Now, did they just have, like, nobody come up with these names?
Apparently.
Hanna-Barbera.
Definitely not original at all.
What did you folks think of, like, the team-up? I mean, I think this was, like, the first major time that, like, all of these guys were together.
I was just happy to see Superman on a cartoon screen. Or Batman. Or anybody with powers.
And on the Legion of Doom side, which I have to say is an awesome name. But what I don't get is, why is it that you can say Legion of Doom, but Justice League isn't good for kids?
Yeah, like, what, good point.
What part of Legion of Doom sounds happy?
Yeah, but... They're the bad guys. You don't want them to sound happy, do you?
You don't want them to sound happy, but, I mean, it's not a kid-friendly name. Like, they should be the Lions of Evil or, like, the Axis of No Do-Gooders.
No good, Nick.
But yeah, this
Rocky
team...
Rocky Bullwinkle had it ripped off already, that's why.
This team was led by, actually, with the Simon Grundy, Sinestro, Jack Manta, Cheetah, Giganta, the Scarecrow, Toyman, Nerija, Bizarro, Brainiac, Captain Cold, and Gorilla Grodd. It's a solid team up.
Weird that Scarecrow's on the team, though. It just doesn't really...
There's a couple of Batman guys on there, isn't there?
There's actually a couple of, I was going to say, it seems to be split between Batman and Superman for the most part, because next year they're Brainiac, Bizarro, Toyman are all Superman villains. Then you have Scarecrow. I guess it's just Scarecrow that's Batman. And Simon Grundy.
And the Riddler.
And the Riddler. And I think Gorilla Grodd's a Flash villain. Captain Cold's a Flash villain. I just think it speaks to the fact that pretty much everybody else has one villain. I mean, Wonder Woman has Cheetah. Aquaman has Black Manta. The Flash has a couple. Green Lantern, you had Sinestro. And I don't know if Hawkman had anybody. Who are Hawk people's villains?
That's a good question. That is, look it up.
And the sad thing is, I'm actually reading Brightest Day, and they have like their one of their villains.
I can't even think of the name.
Yeah, that's how memorable he is.
They actually only have like 10 villains.
And it's several of them.
It's weird.
Nothing gained, nothing else, I guess. Then there'd be various incarnations throughout. There's the World's Greatest Super Friends, another title named Super Friends. Super Friends, the legendary superpower show, is the one that introduced Darkseid into DC proper. And I think it was the first time he was actually a Justice League villain, because originally he was a Teen Titans villain, if I'm not mistaken.
Bizarre.
Darkseid. Did anybody watch the Legendary Super Friend Power shows?
I think I have this on DVD. That's the one where Darkseid was always trying to capture Wonder Woman because he loved her.
The Incredible Hulk aired in 1982 along with Spider-Man, and this one, was this concurrent with the live-action Hulk cartoon? I mean, TV show?
I think this aired after it was finished.
Was it tied in any way?
I don't think so, because he spent... In the cartoon, he was always in the base.
Always in the base?
The army was always around him, whereas in the TV show, he was constantly running. And he never really left the desert in the cartoon.
Okay.
And in the cartoon, he would inexplicably change for no reason at all. He just random Hulk outs here and there. Danger would come and he would change before he got mad.
Random Hulk outs.
Strange show.
Yes.
The dates here say, so the Incredible Hulk live action went till June 82, and...
This just says
the 13 episodes in 82 for the animated series. So
yes, I assume this probably started. This started in September, so pretty much this started when the other one ended.
Yeah,
which makes sense. And to round out the 80s, we had the Plastic Man Comedy Hour, and I guess the X-Men Pride of the X-Men, which wasn't a proper cartoon. It was a pilot for a show that never got made. So I guess we can start first with Plastic Man.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
Bad luck, Hula. That's all I gotta say about Plastic Man. What a sidekick that guy was. Very cheesy cartoon. Eventually, he even had his own baby. Baby Plas.
He has a whole Plastic Man. Does his baby have his powers?
Yeah, Baby Plas. He looks just like him, but he's a baby.
It's just like him, but he's a
red jumpsuit and everything, man. It's hilarious.
Oh God.
But I mean, what do you expect, right? You got a character like Plastic Man. I mean, of course, it's gonna be comedy.
Yes, he's comic. He's comic. It's kind of interesting. I always paid him up as comic relief because of the cartoons. But reading his origins in the comic book, he's actually kind of a
Batman.
I guess sympathetic character in a way.
Right.
Because, like, I mean, like, with the Justice League and all, I know he's, like, recruited by Batman, even though he's, like, a former crook. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, you know, he tries to have, like, a normal life and stuff, and he just can't seem to make it work. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, interesting. And they fed that up in The Brave and the Bold, but... And then the other one is X-Men Pride of the X-Men, which makes perfect sense, because when you want to name a show... You name it with the characters, and then you name it again with the characters.
Yeah.
Double bill it.
Yeah, because you know it's a show about the X-Men, because it's an X-Men, Pride of the X-Men.
But don't you think that was like a jab at how they were going to introduce it? You know, we'll take our youngest member, and we'll use her as the title piece, Kitty Pride.
I was about to say, that's what every X-Men cartoon is, though.
Yeah.
Because this X-Men cartoon was based around Kitty Pride. The 90s X-Men cartoons based around Jubilee.
Jubilee.
Yeah,
X-Men Evolutions based around Spike.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You get Spike out of that? I was thinking more along like Nightcrawler.
Well, those aren't new characters, but like, I mean is like each one introduces, and usually it's always Wolverine sketching out that young girl. Because Wolverine becomes friends with Jubilee in the cartoon. He becomes friends with Rogue in the movies. He becomes friends with I don't think there's anybody in Wolverine in the X-Men like that. But yeah. So, this had one episode, which you can usually find on YouTube and stuff. I don't know if it's been officially released, but it has one of my favorite X-Men theme songs. And you can, again, find that on YouTube. And while I'm thinking about the X-Men cartoon, it's something we skipped over briefly, the Thing cartoon. In which he had his magical rings to transform him from Benjamin Grimm into the Thing by uttering the oath, "Ring Thing, do your thing." Once again, double billion your character. And I think they ran out of things to rhyme ring with a thing, so they just decided it works both ways. But, yeah. I don't know when that cartoon aired. I just remember I used to watch it on Cartoon Network. And, I mean, at the time I actually enjoyed the cartoon because I had no familiarity with the character of the Thing. I didn't even know he was part of the Fantastic Four. So, yeah, that's another strange thing is that he's a solo character in this cartoon.
That kind of reminds me of when I first started buying comics, the Thing wasn't in the Fantastic Four at the time. It was just after Secret Wars. And he'd stayed behind on the planet because he could transform to human form at will. So he had himself a little series there for a bit, but eventually, you know, he came home.
What is with Marvel and dumping people on alien planets?
Didn't they do the same thing
to the Hulk?
Yeah. But that was a riff off of the Crossroads, I think. You know, he's uncontrollable. Let's put him on somewhere where he's not going to be able to hurt anybody. And, you know, he takes over.
Yeah, but even then, that's what I meant. It's like he finds happiness on this other planet, but eventually something leads him back to Earth, and it's usually something, you know, destructive, like the destruction of his marriage and his wife and his kids or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And that will take us through the 80s. Now we...
No place to hide. No place to run. Mutant age has now begun.